I do get kind of really excited over this one. Poor Jolene, is that how you feel today?
Yeah.
She has finished her last treatment last week, and we're hoping in the holler and say, give God the glory.
Amen.
Let's hear a holler out of her. She's been around me too long. You gotta watch out.
Hey, a praise is always in order, right? Many of us have been through cancer before, and we've come out. I think so. You want me to get loud? There we go. Is that better? All right. Sorry. Many of us have been through cancer before, or we've had it in our family, close friends. And when somebody comes through on the other side, like we just heard, that's always a good thing. Always a praise. So that's great to hear. All right, birthdays and anniversaries. We'll do this right quick. According to our records, anniversaries this week, let's see. This week is Seiko Dorley. That's it for anniversaries. Birthdays on the tomorrow, Mike Hodges. And 3 days from now, Diane Edwards. On the 29th, Lillian Constant. Also on the 29th, Kathy Shelton. I think I saw Kathy somewhere. Yes. Tony, heads up, man. All right. You got a few days. And Ruth Wood on the 31st. Any birthdays or anniversaries that we missed that you will own? Anybody going to own it? Nope. All right. Happy birthday, happy anniversary. So let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll move on. Heavenly Father, Lord, we give you thanks for the beautiful day that you gave us. It's a beautiful day because you created it. You let us be a part of it. And so we give you thanks for that. And Lord, we want to give you thanks for the two praises we heard about Orgelina getting through her treatments, about Diana's surgery. Thank you for those. Lord, we want to pray for the Galleons going to the World Deaf Expo next week, as they'll be handing out the gospel to who knows that there'll be thousands and thousands of people there, and precious people that you care about, that you died for, and you offered salvation to. And so we pray for them as they minister next week. I want to thank you for dying on the cross for us, for loving us enough to come here, being born of a virgin, living a perfect, sinless life, and then offering yourself as a sacrifice for our sins. The Bible says, where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. So we thank you for your mercy, your grace to us. Thank you that you've provided a way for us. If there's anyone here amongst us today in this class that has never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, speak to that one today. Let them see their need. And I pray that this class will be a blessing to us. Give us something that we maybe didn't know before. Take a truth that we have known and just make it real to us. Whatever the needs are here, I'm sure there's people here that are depressed. There's somebody here that's got anxiety. I'm sure there's somebody here facing a decision, doesn't know what to do, needs some direction. No doubt there's somebody here that's got a problem with some type of a relationship that's been broken, or it's been strained and it needs to be mended and put back together. There's probably somebody here that's got some problems in their family. There's all kinds of needs here, all kinds of things as we gather together, Lord, around your word and around your name. But we know that you can meet us exactly where we are. And I thank you for that. So bless our class today. Bless us and help us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Mr. Dan, you want this one?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
All righty. Also, I think congratulations are in order for the Johnson family. Is that correct? Care to share? Yes, sir.
Yeah, Kendra and Caleb got engaged.
Amen. Caleb, the outlaw. I mean, the in-laws are here. I'm sorry. Ooh, I got to be careful with that. Wonderful. It's great to have you. Thank you for being here, and congratulations. Now, is this your last one, Brother Johnson? Hallelujah. I mean, isn't that a wonderful thing? That's great. That's wonderful. Awesome. Well, as most have already noticed, you haven't seen Pastor Miss Amy around, and there is a reason for that. And yes, it is in fact, they did catch the latest version, and He sounds a lot worse than he is. Okay, I talked to him this morning, and because I'm such a funny guy, I cracked a funny, and he got to hacking and yakking, and I felt horrible. So I tried to be serious from then on because I felt so bad. But he said he's actually feeling a lot better today than he has in a while. So continue to pray, and continue to pray that Miss Amy doesn't go down the same path. But she's maintaining her distance. Thank the Lord for that. So we don't get it. Amen? But pray for them, and there's a few others that we need to pray for as well. But because of that, we have a blessing, and that is Brother Stephen Knickerbocker, and he can come up here. He's one of our missionaries to Burkina Faso. You might remember we just heard an update not too long ago, a couple weeks back, Wednesday night, from them. And so we have a treat this morning, and he'll get to be with us in Sunday school, and we get to interview him. Man, I'm just having all kinds of trouble this morning. And find out more about him. So Brother Stephen, great to have you. I'll let you take off and give us who you are, where you're from, and all about the family and all that good stuff. Great to have you.
Thank you. It's good to be back at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. My name is Stephen Knickerbocker, and my family is not with me. At this time, we're actually in Middle Tennessee right now with family, and we were able to lead a young couple to the Lord on Thursday, and we wanted to bring them to church there. And so so I worked it out for my wife to be in touch with them to help them get adjusted. When we met them, they were actually looking for a church to go to. She grew up Baptist, and he grew up Anglican. So that was really interesting. And when I asked them about salvation, they didn't really know that they were on their way to heaven. And so it was thrilling to lead them to the Lord. And so pray for them. Their name are Jacob and Shelby. They're expecting their first child, and we're excited to see them join the church and see what the Lord has for their lives. And so my family right now with Alina, Kezia, and Corbin, they're right now in Murfreesboro. And if you haven't received a prayer card, I do carry a stack on me. And so after the Sunday school or maybe after the morning service, I'll be in the foyer. And if you'd like to get a copy of that or update the old copy that you have, we'll be happy to do so. Just to give you a brief introduction, so we've been serving in West Africa, the country of Burkina Faso, since 2014. We moved there the August 2014, and we were able to plant a first church in 2016 after serving with veteran missionaries for about a year and a half. And we were actually able last year, 2021, to elect our first deacon in the church, a former Muslim, and we were able to disciple him, and he has had a very strong testimony, a leader in the church, and we're really thankful for that. And so now we're working on local leadership to train a national pastor, and just recently this last year, we were able to start a Bible study in a region. We're in the capital city right now of Burkina, and about 30 minutes northeast of our location where we planted the first church, there's a Bible study that we were able to start, which could turn into a second church that we could inaugurate in the upcoming, maybe at the end of this year or the following year. We want to make sure that group is discipled and understands the gospel clearly and the responsibility of the church, how the church functions and all that. And so please pray for those prayer requests. Just to give you some general information about Burkina, it's 60% Muslim. We have about over 20 million in population in the country. And just in the capital where we're at, there's over 2 million, and it's increasing at a very rapid rate. And it's a sub-Saharan climate, landlocked, so we don't have any coast, one of the poorest countries in Africa. And right now, the government is very unstable. There was a coup performed by the military. And so right now, the military is in power. The country is fairly stable. It's safe enough for us to be in the capital, which is very safe. There's been some terrorist activity outside of the Capitol, which has led to a state of emergency or a humanitarian crisis that was declared. Several million Burkinabe people have been displaced from their locations. What the terrorists are doing is they're going in certain regions that are not controlled by the government, and so they're taking control. They're requiring schools to teach the Quran, and they're asking churches to close and move away, and they come back a few weeks after, and if it hasn't taken place, they'll kill people because of that. And so, difficult situation in the regions outside of the capital. So, pray for the safety in Burkina Faso. And also, probably the biggest prayer request is my wife is Canadian, and we're working on her naturalization to become a U.S. citizen. And we're waiting right now. In the upcoming week or so, we should have the final answer. Her interview went well. She answered all the questions about history and the government and all that, but they required additional documentation to prove her residency. And you can only imagine, as missionaries, it's tough to prove that we're residing in the U.S. when we're serving abroad. And so, but we're confident that the additional documents they've asked for, we were able to submit those. And so, please pray that that would be accepted. And so, so that's a little bit about us. I believe this church has supported us for about 5 years, a little over 5 years. And so we're really thankful to be back, thankful for this ministry. And I want to thank also Pastor Herdman for the opportunity to come back and minister here through a Sunday school. I give a quick update and also preaching in the next hour.
Tell us how we come to know you. Here,
yes,
at the church.
So the Mullins family have been good friends for years. I graduated with Levi, and he actually recommended to Pastor Jenkins, a previous pastor, that they should take us on for support. So we had a brief interview with him, and then the church started supporting us since then.
Wonderful. Yeah. So you've been here to visit. Is it one time? Then?
Right, yeah.
Since then?
One time in official capacity, and another time was just in passing.
All right.
I believe it was.
Wonderful. How did you and your wife meet?
So we met at Crown College.
At Crown College. Okay. What, can you give us some details? How did that go?
Yes, so...
I'm getting in touch with my...
I saw the list of questions, so I'm like, I need to do brief answers.
With my feminine side there. You know, women like to know the details.
Yeah.
Right? So, how did you meet?
So, she's from Quebec, which is the French province of Canada, and I grew up in France as a missionary kid. So, I was involved in international ministry. I was teaching French as a non-credit class to other students that were interested in learning French. And when she found out about that her freshman year, she wanted to participate, and that's how we really got to know each other. After class, we'd speak in French, and of course her Canadian accent and my Parisian French, and so it was really interesting, and we exchanged testimonies and found out she wanted to be involved in missions, which was my desire, and so we were able to serve in the international ministry, and just the Lord put us together, so it was really exciting. And actually, before we went to Burkina, I told her, you know, if we're going to get married, you have to be okay with going to Africa. And she wanted to be in missions, but she hadn't particularly thought about Africa. So I wanted to make sure before we got married.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Good. So you have three children now?
Yes.
And tell us a little bit about them.
Alina's five.
Okay.
She'll be six next month. And okay. Kezia just turned four. And Corbin is a year and a half.
Wow. Yeah. So that's exciting.
Yes.
Now, as far as teaching, has she started teaching them? Are they in school, or what are you doing now?
My wife is she's going to be using the Abeka curriculum.
Okay,
yeah.
Wonderful. And so your oldest would have started kindergarten then, right?
Yeah, we put her actually at Franklin Road Christian School this last year.
Okay.
Because she's been back because of the U.S. citizenship.
Yes.
And I've been making trips back and forth to Burkina.
Okay.
To advance the ministry there.
Okay, yeah. All right.
And Lord willing, we'll be back in Burkina in September, and at that point, she'll start the homeschooling.
Wow. Yeah. So without getting into too much detail, because I would imagine that you're going to have to be a little careful. There, we got some folks at home that are watching.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us as much as you can the process of going from the States traveling to your field and some of the details there.
Yeah, so when Julie and I got married, we knew that the goal was to move abroad. So we never got tied down with a house, payments. We both graduated debt free, and we didn't have any payments to make. We didn't have any furniture. We actually rented a fully furnished apartment for I think it was a year and a half before starting a deputation. And when we started deputation, we were so booked that it didn't make sense to still rent. So when we started deputation, we actually turned in the notice, and we were completely, I guess, homeless. But we had our stuff with some friends in a friend's garage. And, of course, people had their homes available to us, but we didn't have anything to tie us down, which was a great motivation to just get on the road and get the support raised. And we were able to raise our support within 20 months.
Wow.
And so, and then transitioning, we moved with 12 totes. And that was our entire life, and we paid the extra fee for the airlines, yeah. And then moved all that to Burkina, and then we stayed with a veteran missionary for
what's a
month.
Flight cost? Excuse you. What's a flight cost to get there?
In the off season, about $1,000 per person.
Per person.
Yeah.
Wow. So that's an expensive trip.
Yes.
Yeah. It is. Wow. Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry. So now, you said in the interim you're working with a missionary there.
Yes, and then eventually we found our own house to rent, and then we were able to get finally settled for the first time since we got married into a place, so that was pretty cool.
So in some sense, that was your first home.
Exactly, yeah.
There, which is different, isn't it?
No.
That's different, wow. You mentioned the field of service. What language do they speak there?
French is the official language.
French is the official language. It's interesting how God prepared you for that.
Yes.
The same kind of French, or is there some?
Yes,
slang?
Very close.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
They have a few cultural idioms that we wouldn't have in France, and their accent, they have a little slur, but it wouldn't be major that I wouldn't understand.
Okay.
But it'd be an adjustment. It'd be like somebody from the north moving to the south, or vice versa. You know, there's an adjustment. You can understand, but
surely not.
There's an accent that's there. Even sometimes like Tennessee accent and then Alabama accent.
They're different.
You've got the, I'm going to choose my words wisely here. You've got the country folks.
Yeah, you have the rural folks. And city people. Yeah, that's right. Wow. So now, what makes that predominant religion attractive to these people?
Burkina was invaded by Islam. So
so they had no choice.
Right, yeah, it was an imposition. Muhammad was a conqueror, and his followers extended the religion of Islam and imposed it on North Africa. Eventually they went through Spain, conquered Spain, and then they were stopped by Charlemagne, a French guy. And then from that point, they don't conquer by force; they invade, and then once they overwhelm the population, then they can impose Sharia law, which we're starting to see some of that happen in America in certain cities and regions where they dominate. They'll start applying Sharia law and that type of thing. So, Burkina never got to that point. Although most of the surrounding countries are over 90% Muslim, there's one tribal people that has resisted Islam. So it's only gone to 50% of the population. It was a French colony, so Catholicism is 20% in Burkina.
Interesting.
And then some of the tribes, they're holding very strongly to their father religion, okay. the beliefs of their ancestors.
Okay.
And so I don't meet those folks often, but on occasions I'll meet people. They're not Catholic, they're not Muslim, they don't follow any organized religion. They just believe what their ancestors believe, which is voodooism, spirit worship, basically. So
sounds like it's a hodgepodge of a bunch together. Yeah. Now, I know every individual is different, but as a whole, when it comes to that religion, that predominant religion, what is your in with them? What is that foot in the door?
Okay.
That who Christ is and all that.
Right.
Tell us.
So the big celebration in Islam is Kipsa, I think is in the Arabic language. But it's basically the celebration of Abraham's faith when God asked Abraham to sacrifice his son Isaac. So that's the biggest celebration in Islam. So they have that. So that there's a parallel there. The only difference is they don't understand why there's a need for a substitutionary sacrifice. To them, asking to sacrifice a son is just a token of love or a sign of faith, and so they don't understand that sin must be paid. There must be a payment for sin, and so when we share with them the story behind their biggest feast. Because they'll kill rams, and then they'll invite their friends and neighbors over, and they just have a big feast, almost like a Thanksgiving type celebration. And they invite everyone, even those that are not Muslim. It's kind of almost like a recruitment time to invite people to come to the Muslim faith. And in fact, I've had some of my neighbors invite me for that, and I was able to share the gospel with them. In their home, explain to them why God asked for a sacrifice because of sin, and sin must be paid for, and thanks be to God that we don't have to die for our sin or offer our children, because God provided through the ram for Abraham, and we understand that's a prophetic sign of Christ coming and being the substitutionary sacrifice for us. And so I have found that's been the most illuminating way to share the gospel with Muslim, because they're very familiar with that story, and to help them to see, understand the spiritual principles that God teaches. So it's mainly two main ideas that we try to communicate to them. Number one, we've all sinned. And then number two, sin has to be paid for. And if they can understand these two concepts, 90% of the work is done. I shared the gospel with a Muslim, not with just a Muslim, but with an imam, which was a religious leader in the Muslim faith, and I was able to get him to agree with those two concepts. And when I finally revealed to him that the substitutionary sacrifice is none other than Christ, he came back on his word and said, no, sin doesn't have to be paid for. We just have to do good works, and then God will judge and determine if our good works are enough to get us into heaven. And so that was a powerful moment, because although he agreed with what I revealed about those biblical principles, when he found out that ultimately it was referencing Christ, then he had to go back. Because if he agrees that it's Christ, then all of Islam is void. Because Islam is based on the five pillars, which is good works. Yeah, there's no one can answer for my sin. Everyone has to answer for their own sin. There's no substitute.
There you go. Oh. So now, as you're doing this here in the United States for many years, we've been able to say, well, in the Bible it says. Mm-hmm. When you use that statement there, what does the Bible mean to them?
That's a great question. Most Muslims, they'll say, well, the Bible is the Word of God. They believe that. But the most recent divine revelation is the Quran, which will render the Bible just a commentary. And basically, the Quran, the religious book, is the ultimate revelation, and the Bible needs to be filtered through the filter of the recent revelation. So it's basically outdated. Okay. The Bible is outdated. Now, some of them, because I'll ask them, well, why are there some obvious contradictions if they accept the Bible to be the Word of God? And then at that point, some of the ones that are more educated, they'll say, well, the Bible has been corrupted by the disciples of Christ. And so the epistles, where we get the doctrine for the church, they'll say all those have been corrupted. You know, so they'll attack the deity of Christ, obviously, and the resurrection. They don't believe in the resurrection. And so then at that point, there is a little trick, and that is in the Quran, Muhammad invites Muslim to read the Bible. Now, if the Bible has been corrupted, then it means their leader is asking them to read a corrupted book, which doesn't make sense. Why would he do that? And then they'll say, well, the Bible was corrupted after Muhammad's time. So Muhammad lived 600 years after Christ. And a lot of Muslims don't know that. Some of them think Muhammad came before Christ. And so when they find out he lived 600 years after, it's like, well, that's a shock. And so what do we say to those who say, well, the Bible was corrupted after Muhammad's time? Well, archaeologists today are making discoveries of copies of the scriptures that predate Muhammad. So the Bible that we have today is the same that Muhammad had in his time. So the Bible hasn't been corrupted. Now, there are different versions, but even within the different variations of the versions, the deity of Christ is still present, and the resurrection is still present. And so they really don't have any argument except, you know, this is our... So they'll have... their creed is there's only one God, and Muhammad is his prophet. So when they're backed into a corner... in a reasonable way, in other words, there's no more arguments for them to defend their position, they'll just recite their creed. There's only one God, and it's a brainwashing, basically. Yeah. They can't reason through, so they have to back up. Because Islam is very much a gang religion. You don't ask questions. You just repeat without thinking. And a lot of Muslims, you know, that's a frustration. They're like, well, we're praying in Arab, but we don't understand what we're praying. Those that are sincere, that really want to search for God, they're having a hard time having their heart in it because there's a lot of things that are not answered that are reasonable, basic questions.
And all this you learned in Bible college, right? I'm just being sarcastic.
Some of it, but most of it, yeah, it's just talking with Muslim and asking them questions.
Yeah, and adjusting, and the Holy Spirit leads you in that. Well, so teaching just basic structure for a church, you're starting from ground zero, aren't you?
Right. Yeah, we started with a Bible study, and through the Bible study, we discipled the first converts, and then explained to them what is church, what is the purpose of the church, what is your place as a church member in the church, and so the basic doctrines, you know, the deity of Christ, the purpose of the Holy Spirit, end times, and that type of thing. And once we were done with discipling them, we inaugurated the church. We formed the church, and that took about a year to do.
What does it mean to be a Christian there for somebody?
So there's a 10% of the population is Protestant. So we have the Assembly of God Church that is there. And so when people think Christian, they think speaking in tongues, loud, boisterous worship services, dancing, and that type of thing. The Muslims have run out some churches, Protestant churches, out of their neighborhoods because of the annoyance it's become. So immediately when someone hears Christian, they think of that, unfortunately. And the Assemblies of God Church have been in Burkina over 100 years. So they're well established, but there's several issues. They believe you can lose your salvation, and they believe in extra biblical revelation. In other words, I can have visions and dreams, and I can prophesy to people. And that and that leads them to put the Bible aside. We've had people in our church that wanted to become members, and when they found out that we don't let them reveal their dreams, they weren't happy with that. And so we just tell them that we can't confirm where your dreams come from, but we can confirm where the Bible comes from. Amen. And so we tell them we're a Bible church. Okay. And that's what we put that in our name, where the name of the church is Bible Baptist Church.
Okay. Well, good. Yeah. Daily living. I'm sure it's not like the United States.
Nope.
What does it mean? We're talking banking, shopping.
Yeah. We don't have Walmart.
You don't have Walmart?
No.
Okay.
We literally have to go to four or five different places to get everything we need.
For the day or for the meal?
Yeah, for like if you want vegetables, fruits, then you've got furniture, then you've got construction materials like light bulbs. There's a few places downtown that have a lot of things and most things. And it's starting to change. We're finding more conveniences like we have in America. But still, there's a few times where we need to go. Waiting in line at a bank is something that's dreadful.
How long does that take?
Initially, it could take up to an hour. And this would just to be make a deposit.
Okay.
And so to withdraw cash, that's even longer. And but now it's different. Now they've got debit cards, and so you can go to an ATM and withdraw cash, which that's a huge thing. And so now maybe it's a little quicker, the service, but it depends on the bank. And so we're with a bank that has the best service in Burkina, but there's some other banks. It's sometimes they even have to put a tent outside because they don't have enough room in the waiting room. Okay. And you'll have hundreds of people outside waiting to make a deposit or withdraw on that type of thing.
So to go to the bank, do you do that on a weekly basis?
No, we would try probably maybe more on a monthly basis.
On a monthly basis. Yeah. And you withdraw your money for the month?
Yes.
Not to get personal, but
right, yeah.
You withdraw your money for the month.
Yeah.
And so does that put you at risk when you're withdrawing
right, yeah.
that amount of money for the
yeah.
month?
Well, when at every ATM has an armed guard,
okay.
So I feel safe at the ATM. The U.S. Embassy sends regular notification to help us stay safe, and they'll say, you know, when you go back to your home, to make sure no one's following you, always change routes. Don't always take the same routes, because with a pattern, people can notice that and follow you to your home. And we also have armed guards in our home. So that
say that again, please.
We have armed guards at our home, 24-hour.
Who pays? Who pays for that?
We do. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
How big is your house?
Not much bigger than yours would be. 3-bedroom house. You know, the problem there is anyone who's got some form of wealth is going to be a target. So. We have missionary friends that have been robbed at knife point, okay. And they didn't have armed guards. They didn't lock their doors, so they didn't take basic steps, and they weren't hurt, thankfully, but they did lose some valuables. And so one of the first recommendations that Bedouin missionaries gave us was, you need to make sure your family's safe.
Yeah. So how confident are you that those armed guards that you pay for are not corrupt?
Okay, so that's a good question. We would look at the reviews. Some companies have been around for a while, and they're more professional.
Okay.
So we'll make the bigger investment to assure that we have a professional service.
Okay, so that's an added expense, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
Wow. And so now, what about moving around, driving? Do you drive? Do you have somebody mm-hmm. drive for you? Do you use public transportation? How do you get around?
Yeah, we do our own driving.
Do your own driving.
Yeah,
okay.
That's probably the safest thing to do. We were, at one point, we did have a personal driver, chauffeur, and but it didn't work out long term. But I feel comfortable driving there. My wife doesn't. Yet, because It's pretty crazy there.
Okay, okay. So what do you eat?
They eat mainly rice-based foods with different sauce. My favorite sauce is the peanut sauce. So it's like not a, like a peanut butter, but it's like a salty, savory peanut paste that they mix in with a tomato sauce, cabbage, carrots, peppers, and all sorts of good stuff, onions. And it's actually pretty good. Yeah, they've got a few flavors there that are really unique but tasty. Others, not so much.
The water situation. Naturally, you right. cannot drink water out of the tap. So we, how do you get your water?
Yeah, we have a water filter.
Okay.
Yeah, right off of the kitchen sink that allows us to filter water and bottle it for storage. And we also have a water tower because there'll be power outages. So we'll have water cuts throughout the month. And so with a 1,000-gallon water tank, we can waive any cut of water for that. That would cover several weeks, which it has never been cut for that long. But in case it does, we should be good to go. So.
Wow. What's the temperature like there?
So very hot and dry, very close to Phoenix, Arizona climate.
Okay.
So it would be 110. It could go up to 115. We've seen upwards even to 120, past 120 a few times as well.
If you were to get sick, where do you go?
Yeah, there's a few clinics and hospitals. Some people say you don't go to the hospital unless you're dying because it looks like a war zone over there, really bad. The accident, the vehicle accidents are horrible. I saw some surveys said that Ouagadougou, Burkina Faso, is one of the most dangerous places to drive. Everyone's on a moto and not respecting the rules. There's big semi-trucks that go through town to get to their next location, and it's horrible driving. And so you get a lot of these accidents. Ambulances literally every day are picking up people that have been in tragic car. I've been scarred by some of the sites. I've seen some of the accidents, and so it's that's one of the most dangerous things. So I did have a moto at one point for little errands, but my wife won't let me
now,
get
moto,
on it without
you mean
a helmet.
Motorcycle. Motorcycle?
Yeah. Well, it's not a full motorcycle. It's almost like a moped. So it's a slower type motorcycle.
Okay. Yeah.
That's the most popular mode of transportation there.
Wow. Okay. As you look in the near future, what can we pray for you the most?
Yeah,
naturally,
so safety.
Your wife.
Yeah. Yeah, safety is number one.
Okay.
Not just for us. We haven't had, since we've been in Burkina for almost 8 years, we haven't had any encounter that we felt threatened, but there has been terrorist attacks on rare occasion in the capital city, but those were in the downtown area, so which is 30 minutes away from where we live. But still, you know, it doesn't hide the fact that there's a terrorist presence in Burkina, and so pray for our safety, our wisdom as we encounter different people, and we don't want to get in a difficult situation. So that's number one. And then number two is national leadership. So we were able to get a church going. The church is financially able to support their own pastor, but we just don't have an official pastor yet to take over the church. And so please pray for that. So those are safety, the family, and generally in the country. There's a big police and military presence in Ouaga, so that's why we feel really safe there. There's several checkpoints where the police will regularly stop people, check their papers, and stuff like that. So we feel very safe in the capital.
Well, good. Well, I know that we didn't get to all the questions that we would like to ask, and there's probably many more, but our time is done. Maybe this will help us pray more. A lot of times missionaries don't talk about a lot of these details, and we see them, and everything's always good. Yeah, praise the Lord. You know, God's blessing and everything like that. But things, you know, there are concerns. You think about three small children in this type environment, and that goes through your mind. What would be, and we need to finish with this. What helps you as a father, as a man, a human, what helps you in when the thought comes across, Stephen, what are you doing? Taking your family.
I don't think that was one of the questions.
That was not on here. That was not on here.
But, that's a good question.
Yeah. You know, what helps you? Yeah. What keeps you grounded?
Well, it's the calling, going back to the calling. Okay. I know why I'm there. It's not because I desire to be there, but it's because God desires for me to be there. And if he leads me, he's going to provide and protection and everything that we're going to need. And so the safest place to be is where what God wants you to be. So there's another prophet during contemporary to Jeremiah who, when he was threatened by the king, he ran to Egypt. He received the same threats. His message was the same as he was a good prophet, just like Jeremiah, but the difference is that under the threat, he ran away while Jeremiah stayed preaching the word of God. And well, eventually the king went and got him and killed him. And what happened was he had left the will of God. He got scared of the threats. But when he left the will of God, even under the threats, he left the safety of the Lord. And so we don't want to leave the safety of the Lord. We want to be right where he wants us to be. And that's the safest place to be.
Amen. So we pray that God is with his leadership, and we pray that Brother Stephen can stay plugged in and stay fixed on what God would have him do, knowing that within that you find safety. There could be no better place to be. In that sense, here in the United States, in one of the most, you know, in one of the best countries in the entire world, we could be in the most dangerous spot on the planet if we have stepped away from God, what God would have us do. That's a very good thought to end with. Thank you, Brother Stephen.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
And appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning. We're looking forward to a word from the Lord through Brother Stephen here in just a few moments. And at this time, we're dismissed. Thank you so much for being here.